We're studying biblical hermeneutics. Hermeneutics means the science of studying something to its fullest degree, to its final result. And we're studying the Word of God, and we're studying biblical hermeneutics. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness." If every Scripture is inspired of God, obviously there could be no Scripture which isn't inspired of God. Now, let's go back and trace that just a little bit. Muhammad was born in 570 AD, during this period of time right here, 570 AD. He died in 623 AD. He established his Islam, or his religious war machine, by 610 AD. He said the Bible is corrupted, that you can't trust anything that the Bible says, but that the Quran that he was receiving, and when the words came down, but if you study the writings of Ibn Ishaq, the life of Muhammad by Ibn Ishaq, you will find out why every verse came down. Muhammad was having some kind of a problem, and so conveniently a verse would come down to solve that problem. And the Muslims say that it is the very word of Allah. If you study history and you find out that Muhammad didn't bring anything new into the world, there was a man that he studied after that had everything, had wanted to reconfigure the Arab religion into exactly what Muhammad decided to do. We see the Catholic Church evolving. Muhammad never may had much success into intellectually reaching people with his message. But when it came to his war machine and his political, religious nation, so to speak, he did real well with what we call conversion by the sword. So did Catholicism. What Muhammad brought into the world was an evil war machine, which is still going today. Catholicism was an evil war machine that ravaged the world for about, might say, 1,200 years before the Protestant Reformation clipped her wings to some extent. The Bible records things that certain people said. Now, when certain people said something, it didn't mean it was inspired. The Word of God is inspired, but where Satan is talking in Genesis, the third chapter, and Matthew, the fourth chapter, to Jesus, and in different times throughout the Bible, and Job, the first chapter, what Satan says is not inspired, but it is recorded directly. Now, I have always said that I believe the Bible, from the original languages, the Hebrew and the Greek, ever tense, mode, and voice. And I believe that. It wouldn't matter whether I believe it or not, it's true. Every translation of Scripture, there can be mistakes in this translation by the translators. Acts 2:38 says, "You're baptized for the remission of sins." But that was translated by the Church of England in order of King James. Now you Baptists out there that believe in King James only, the King James Bible was written against your ancestors. You read the the preface or the epistolatory letter to the King James Bible, and it will say, and it denounces the Romish people and those other people that won't have anything else that was hammered out but what was hammered out on their own anvil, and that's Baptist. Many Baptists were burned at the stake when the King James Bible came out because they said it was corrupt, that it was politically and religiously biased. Now, I can preach from the King James Bible and I can preach salvation, but I have to change a few things in it. Not from the original languages, but from the translations. And other translations are like that too. I could take the New World Translation by the Jehovah's Witnesses and I could preach Christ from it, but I'd have to correct it to say what the original language says. The original language, the Bible, is God-blown, God-breathed. The meaning of inspiration is different than what so-called Shakespeare or some of the poets of time, they said they were greatly inspired people. There may have even been more than one Shakespeare. Many people believe that one man did not do all that writing, that it was a people that they used his name or that name. Divine inspiration is something beyond any human genius. Someone wrote the works of Shakespeare, whether it was Shakespeare or not. And it was of human genius, or human geniuses. I have known quite a few scholars in my lifetime, and most of those scholars do not believe that Shakespeare's writings were attributed to one man, but a group of people. But they are great works of literature. Some people say that Samuel Clemens was greatly inspired. He was gifted. Samuel Clemens went to live in Hannibal, Missouri. And Hannibal, Missouri affected his life, all of his life. After that, that's where he lived in his soul, was Hannibal, Missouri. After he became very famous, he went back to Hannibal, Missouri one time. And went back there to visit. And he tried to do it secretly. And it wasn't like it was when he left. My stepdad, Dale Remling, brought me to Fish Lake Valley in 1953. I worked like a slave here. But this place, I fell in love with the mountains. I fell in love with the area. I fell in love with the wildness of the land. The primitiveness. 1953 to probably 1960, this place was just like the Wild West. There was no electricity here. People lived here like they lived in the 1800s. It wasn't far from it. It was a wild place. I fell in love with that wild place, and it has inspired me to write and to do all kinds of stuff. But it's not divinely inspired. The Bible is more than any human genius. Shakespeare, or the writers of his works, quoted the Bible over 500 times. Joseph Smith, in his writings, quoted the King James Bible many, many, many times, but Joseph Smith's works are not inspired of God. The Book of Mormon probably wasn't even written by him, but by a man by the name of Solomon Spaulding. Doctrines and Covenants and the Pearl of Great Price were penned by him and others. that they are not inspired of God. There are mistakes in that. The mistakes that were in the King James Version, Joseph Smith didn't know about, and he just went ahead and quoted it anyway. The Word of God has no mistakes in it. But the writings of men, writing about the Word of God, well, look at all of the writings of Charles Taze Russell and Judge Rutherford. They quoted the Bible a lot, but they rested and trusted it. The Bible is more than illumination. I have been in love with study all of my life. I've studied everything that I could latch onto. It just, my mind loves to study and learn new things every day. It does not keep things in there like it used to. Used to stick. Now it doesn't. I can go preach a set of messages and in 5 years I can go back and listen to them and learn something. Yes. The Word of God is illuminating. We can study. I can study many writers. I can be thrilled by writings of people. I've studied histories. All kinds of things. I read the book of the Quran 3 or 4 times. It's disgusting. That's not genius there. That's warped. A warped mind. You study the Word of God. I have preached by word for word every book in the New Testament except the book of Acts from the Greek language, and I'm going to do that soon. Try to. The Lord allows me to live that long. The influence of the Holy Spirit is common to all real Christians. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, righteousness, judgment to come. It convicts us what's right and wrong. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit draws us to Himself, to Jesus Christ, and it leads us with Him in His steps. The Holy Spirit enables us to understand spiritual things. Spiritual illumination is also combined with yielding to the Holy Spirit. Yielding to Him. We have steps of action in our lives. There is what we call a learning experience. As we surrender more of our lives to God, we learn more. There's a progressive revelation in the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation. God states a fact and then illuminates and expounds on that fact. Genesis 3:15, the promise to the woman of the seed, her seed would save the world and overcome Satan. Some people say that the Bible contains the Word of God, but the Bible is the Word of God. It doesn't contain the Word of God, it is the Word of God. The Bible is more than a revelation. Revelation means to uncover something. There are records in the Bible and in Scripture. The record of truth directly revealed by God to individuals. Paul, Peter, James, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Moses, Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel never understood everything that God revealed to him. Neither did Ezekiel. But it was true just the same, whether we understand it or not. Real truth is directly revealed by God. The record of events that occurred in a writer's experience, inspiration superintends the communication of all truths. Inspiration superintends the communication of all truths. Inspiration, of course, literally means God breathed. I've used the example of training horses as the way God inspired men. I've talked about training horses to where you didn't have to give them a cue with reins at all. But you trained that horse to where you and that horse become one. You're of one mind. And when you think of something and move just a certain way, that horse is going to respond to you. And it's going to do what you want it to do by just leaning. This is what we call high dressage. God inspires men. As we can train a horse, the lipizzans are high dressage. I went down to a place in Los Angeles area called, what it is a medieval times. And you go there and you eat like they did in medieval times with your fingers, and you eat fried chicken or whatever and other things that go with it, but you eat with your fingers like they did. They didn't have knives and forks and spoons. Well, they had knives, but they didn't have forks and spoons like we do. They had ladles. You drink out of a bowl of soup, you just pick up the bowl and drink it. Medieval times, I saw horses down there trained and men trained. An unbelievable accuracy. If they made a wrong move, it could be death. People trained. Men can be trained to march in absolute unison. You can see that in the military machine. Men. Watch Hitler's goose-stepping Nazis all in unison, turning their heads at the same time. Exactly. In unison. Now, if men can do that, if I can train a horse to move like that, God surely can use men to impress upon them to what to say, use their own minds, their own understanding, their own experiences, but put it in accuracy, exactly perfect. The Word of God expresses itself through certain chosen instruments of human personality. We cannot exactly explain why the Holy Spirit uses certain men, enabled writers to accomplish the task that was put before them, but we know that it happened. We have proof of that. 1 Peter 1:21 says, "For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spoke as they were moved in great high dressage." By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit writing these men, and they are performing these tasks. To what extent is inspiration? We as Christians believe in full inspiration. We reject partial inspiration. There are those that say the Bible contains the Word of God, but we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. All Scripture is God-breathed, and this means that no Scripture is inspired more than any other Scripture. Like I said, when we're talking about Scripture, we're talking about Greek and Hebrew, not talking about translations. We're talking about the original language. I was a member of Valley Baptist Church for over 20 years, and I taught Greek and Hebrew there, and other advanced biblical studies. They used to call us the brainy classes. This is now Areopagus, Mars Hill, where I am today. I ought to put that right up here on the wall. I have that little tag. When when I resigned from Valley Baptist Church, they took out the Areopagus signs. They said, nobody can take that pledge. Nobody can take your pledge. Here's your signs. I didn't name the class that. It was that when I came. But I tried to breathe into that class the deep things of God. And that's what we're talking about right now. The deep things of God. Daniel wrote words given to him by divine inspiration that he did not understand at all. Daniel 12 and 8 and 9. And in 2 Samuel 23, 2, we read, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was in my tongue. Other scriptures relating to inspiration are 1 Peter 1 and 10 and 11. Exodus 20 and verse 1. Thus saith the Lord. Jeremiah says, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith Jehovah. The word of the Lord came to me. The Hadavar. In the New Testament says, in beginning kept on being the Word, and the Word kept on being toward the God, and the Word kept on being God. Or because the Word kept on being God. The Word of God is literal, His words. And the living Word of God is Jesus Christ. And the reason why He was called the Word of God is because after Exodus 20 and verse 7, it says, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain, for He will require it of you. Israel will never speak His name again. That name. That unknown name. In Revelation, the 19th chapter, said He had a name which no one knew. We don't know how to say that name. Yahweh? We don't know how to say that name. We don't know how to say it at all. It has no vowels. Four consonants. Yod, hey, wow, hey. No way to pronounce it. So John said, in the beginning kept on being the Word, the Jehovah, and Jehovah kept on being in several parts of Godhead because Jehovah kept on being God. But John 1:14 says, Kahalogos starts again. And Word, Jehovah, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Exodus 24:4, Exodus 35:1, Isaiah 1 and 2, Jeremiah 1 and 4, Daniel 9:21, Daniel 7 and 1, and Amos 1 and 1, and Revelation 1 and 1. Let's go look at one of these. Let's go, that's real easy. The last book in the Bible is Revelation. Let's go look at Revelation 1 and 1. Revelation. Revelation 1 and 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the uncovering of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must shortly take place. And he sent and he communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for time is near. And then John writes to the seven churches of Asia. Verse number 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn out of the dead ones, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and releases us from our sins by his blood. He said here, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Prophecy. proofs of inspiration. How do we know that the Bible is true? How do we know that the Bible is inspired? Its preeminence compared to all other scripture. The Catholic Church and Islam tried to completely destroy the Bible. They burned it. Every piece of the Bible, we don't have any of the original autographs because of that, but we still have the Word of God. With all of that devastation of God's Word, still, we have manuscripts, old Greek manuscripts, that could stack over a mile high if laid one upon the other. How many miles of manuscripts did they have? If it cost your life to have one page of the Bible in Islam or the Islamic countries and the Catholic countries, and we still have all these scriptures today, we have abundant witness of these scriptures, that's quite a deal. It's preservation. The devil tried to destroy the Word of God. The devil tried to contaminate the Word of God. The transforming power in the Word of God. When I read that Bible, I never heard a word preached hardly from a pulpit at all, and I was convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come because of God's Word. He worked on me. The power of the Word of God. And that power transforms you, changes your life, changes your thinking. The unity of the Scripture from Genesis through Revelation, there's one story, people. One story. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is the story. For he is our propitiation, for not for our propitiation only, but for the whole world. It's scientific accuracy. I get a kick out of these biblical fads that come along, come and go, and come and go, and come and go. You study the original language in the Word of God, and that's going to put aside a lot of these fantasies that come along. Modern ideas. People that believe so much in what they believe, whether it's founded upon the Word of God or not. I mean, people will beat on it. King James is the only inspired Bible there ever was, they'll say. Boy, they ought to read the history of it and what happened to the Baptist because of that book. I mean, I can preach from it, as I said before, but you got to know where it came from. Read the epistolary letter to the beginning of it. Scientific accuracy. The virgin birth. The virgin birth is a possibility. The blood of a child comes from its father, not its mother, and to the father is the sin nature, and Jesus Christ didn't have an earthly father. He inherited his body and formed from Mary of the human race, and we don't need to worship her either or pray to her. She was just another woman just like you and me. God used her, picked her out. But she had to be saved just like you and me. The archaeological spade that proves the scriptures. Solomon really lived. David really lived. I mean, they try to prove that they didn't. But the more they dig, the more they find out they did. Then they try to play them down, that they were nobodies. But even history from other nations attests to the greatness of Israel and David's empire and Solomon's empire. Over 5,000 places spoken in Scripture have been found truth by fulfilled prophecy. Psalm 22 says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And another place in Aramaic, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Isaiah 53. Ezekiel. When God prophesied against Tyre and Sidon and Babylon, he named people that would be born into the world over 100 years before they were born. He actually prophesied of Judas Iscariot hundreds of years before he was born. The Bible is inspired and or separated into the Old and the New Testaments. The English division of the Old Testament is 39 books and 27 in the New. The Pentateuch, or the writings of Moses, are called the Pentateuch. There are 5 books. There are history books, 12. Poetry, 5. Prophecy, 17. One major, or 5 major and 12 minor prophets. And there's nothing major and minor about them. The books are smaller, the minor ones. The Hebrew division of the Old Testament was 24 books. The Hebrews never spoke of 1 and 2 Samuel or 1 and 2 Kings until the translation of the Septuagint in 285 B.C. When 70 Jews began to translate into Greek, they found that it took so much space that they divided some books into 2 books. The poetical books were not divided. Luke 24 and verse 44 says, the Psalms of Prophets. Luke 24, 44. Go back there. Now he said, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Jesus divided the Old Testament into 3 divisions. The English divisions of the New Testament. 5 historical, 21 epistles, and 1 prophecy, which is Revelation, and actually, to some extent, so is the book of Jude, and 1 and 2 Thessalonians. The Bible chapters that we have today were not inspired. The chapters of the Bible are not. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible, and these are man-made divisions. Credit is given to this by Stephen Lang of London, Langton, who died in 1227, actually 1228 AD. He was the Archbishop of Canterbury and a Archbishop of the Roman Catholic Church. The Bible is divided into 31,163 verses. This vision is also man-made and was done in 1550 by Sir Robert Stevens. The Geneva Bible printed in 1560 was the first Bible to be printed in verse form. The Revised Version of 1881 was not the verse division, did not have the same verse division. There are 3,566,480 letters in the Bible in English. Hebrew is like shorthand, people. Wyomer. That's one word. But wow in front of that is a conjunction. Conjunction, page 253 of that wow. And then Yomer is third person masculine, singular, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect. All in Wyoming. And he said and kept on saying. We look for the Word of God, and we see something that is divine. Something that is far beyond anything any man could imagine. Like I said, Daniel didn't know all about what he wrote. John sure didn't know all about what he wrote in Revelation. Jude, quoting the book of Enoch, the book of Enoch is eschatology, end times and history. The book of Hasafer Yashir is a book. It's a history book that goes all the way back. It says the scribe Jasher. That book has been quoted several times in the Bible, Old and New Testament, as a history book. Divinely inspired? No, I don't think so. Some places are, where it quotes prophets. If you want to find out who Noah's wife was and who Japheth and Shem and Ham's wife were, you can look in there and find out where they came from. Tells you about that. Tells you about things that happened before the flood and after. An old, old book. Hasaver Yashur, the book of Enoch. Why, some of the book of Enoch surely is inspired. Enoch preached for about 300 years before the flood. He named his son Methuselah, which is an inspired name, which means that when he is dead, he shall come to pass. The year that Methuselah died came the flood. We see many things in the Word of God, many beautiful truths. And God's Word is true. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out that you'll touch lives and just give encouragement and love to your people. Help them to understand that your Word can be trusted. It is true and it is tried. Father, one old man said, the Bible is like an anvil. Many of the atheists and agnostics and critics have beat their hammers to death on that anvil, but the anvil still stands. Father, thank you for that. Thank you for your word.